Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Hi, LifeLink. Okay, let's do that again. Hi, LifeLink. God is good, and all the time, amen, amen. These guys suddenly grew quiet. Now I'm getting scared. No, I'm just kidding. My name is Pastor Lion Ray. I'm one of the staff pastors here at LifeLink Church, and it's an awesome privilege to be standing here to minister to us this morning. Are you ready for God's word?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just a mailman. There is something he wants to pass across to you, so I just want to come and deliver it, amen. And want to appreciate my pastors here this morning, our lead pastors, Pastor Dave and Pastor Sherry. Let's put our hands together for them. We say this wherever we go, they are people of integrity. You can't find better pastors anywhere, amen. And I'm not saying this so that I can preach next week. I'm it's the absolute truth, amen. And I'm a husband of one wife. As the Bible says, there is a hope that is in our future that's going home to be with the Lord and be with Jesus. But I'm a blessed man because I also have a hope here. So that's my wife here, right here, Pastor Hope. Thank you, sweetheart. She's the queen of my heart. Yeah, we've been married for, it's going to be 15 years in September. And God has been good. Wow, 15 years. Make me sound old. You know? But God is a good God. So, we're in this awesome series called You Asked For It. And it's been great up until now. And God has been speaking to our hearts. It's been powerful. If you haven't been here for the last few weeks, you can go to lifelinkchurch.com. I have to speak slowly this morning. Just try to tell me that. So, I'll speak slower. Go to lifelinkchurch.com to be able to see some of the questions that we've gone through this past few weeks. This is a series where Pastor Dave chose the top six questions that was asked a couple of weeks ago, and God has been just exploding our hearts with understanding this past few weeks. We went through questions like, are we living in the end times? Pastor Dave did a phenomenal job on that. How do I share my faith? By Pastor Tom. Parenting and relationship essentials by Pastor Dave again. Dealing with addictions last week. How many of us were here last weekend? Wasn't that awesome? Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. All right, so my task today, my responsibility is to answer the question, how do I know God's will? Knowing God's will. And no matter where you find yourself in the spectrum of life, whether you're 2 or you're 22 or you're 92, this is a question that we do ask ourselves every time. How do I know the will of God for my life? And most of the time it's tied to another question, which is, what exactly is your purpose for me? And that's the question we'll allow the Holy Spirit to help us answer this morning. What exactly is your will? How do I know God's will? How many of us have ever asked ourselves that? All right, so we'll try to do that today. But before we do that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for your awesome presence in this room. Thank you because it is tangible in this place, and we give you praise for it. Bible says that the flower fades and the grass withers, but your word endures forever. So our hearts are open to receive of you in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask for fresh manna, that you will fill us afresh and you will feed us afresh in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare that all the blessing will be unto you, and all the glory will be unto you, and the blessing will be for your people. And the people of God say what?
Amen.
And the people of God say? Amen. God is good. I'm very excited. I'm sure you can see it all over me. All right. So my wife and I lived in the Caribbean for probably about 7 years. We live in the twin island of Trinidad and Tobago. Beautiful island, small island. And we got married over there before we moved to the United States. And our first visit to the U.S. was in 2000, the year 2000, which is about 15 years ago now. And we were staying with a couple of friends in Brooklyn. And there is this place we've always heard about. Like, okay, they call the place Times Square. So I'm like, okay, well, we eventually want to go and see what this place looks like. So one of our friends told us, well, the best time to go there is after midnight. So, because that's when all the lights are on and then you see so many people. And so we chose to go one night and we took the subway, smelly subway, you know. New York City subways are not the nicest, but it's a subway anyways. We took the subway and then we got to 42nd Street where Times Square is. And then, boom, we came out in this place and there was light and confusion everywhere. I mean, it was midnight, after midnight, and there were people everywhere. Going up and down, and there were cars, horns blasting. I'm like, wow. How many of us have ever been to Times Square? I think they have a picture of it somewhere for us to show us. And that's what it looks like. At least that's part of what it looks like. It was just confusion. And we're trying to figure out, okay, which way to go now? Which side should we go first? Which way should we follow? And sometimes life is like that. We begin to wonder, which way should I go? It seems like everybody is just passing you by. Have you ever been like that? You felt like so they've gone one way, and suddenly, and then somebody else is going, and you wonder, why am I here? Everybody's getting married, I'm not married yet. Everybody's having children, I can't have, I'm not having my own child yet. Oh, somebody got a new car, what about me? How many of us have ever felt? Let's be, we're in church, it's good to say, to be truthful. Sometimes we feel like that, and life can be like Times Square. But you begin to wonder, where exactly am I going? Which direction am I supposed to follow? And this is where knowing God's will becomes very important. Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 26, it's in your outline, it says, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. When I was growing up back home in Nigeria, we used to call that headless chicken. I do not go, you know, someone running just aimlessly, you know, running around like an headless chicken. But that's not God's purpose for us. God's purpose for us is not to run around aimlessly. He said, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No target, just continue to do that. Sometimes we feel like that. But God's purpose for our life is never to be running around aimlessly, and neither is it for us to be boxing the air. Because the God that we serve is a God of plan, is a God of purpose, is a God of objectivity, and is a God of design. He does not make mistake. Our God, the God that I serve, is a God of plan, is a God of purpose, is a God of objectivity, and is a God of design. There is nothing worse than lacking direction in life. Trying to figure out where to go, what to do. Something happened to me in the year, I think it was 2001. We just recently got married and I had to meet my father-in-law for the first time. Like I said, we got married in Trinidad and Tobago in the year 2000, September 2000. And so we came to California to meet my father-in-law for the first time. So I met him and I'm trying to be like the good son-in-law that I am. Now, listen to this. In Trinidad and Tobago, they drive on the other side of the road. All right? So that's the left side. Well, they drive on the other side of the road. So I saw my father-in-law. He was happy to see me. I think he was happy to see me. And he said that there is this nice Indian restaurant he wanted to take us to in California, in Palm Springs. So as the nice son-in-law that I am, I said, okay, I'll drive. Okay. So we entered the car. He was sitting right beside me on the passenger seat. My wife was sitting at the back. He gave me the address, I plugged it into the GPS, and we're on our way. It took almost all of 20 seconds for me to realize what I was doing. I was driving on the wrong side of the road. There was direction, but it was the wrong kind of direction. There is nothing like having the right direction in life. Not just having direction, but the right kind of direction. I could have just killed my father-in-law and my wife all together in one swoop. But God did not allow that. You understand what I'm saying? There is, Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. It said, if people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, I like that word reveals. That's what he shows. What his knowledge is, what his will is. He said, they are most blessed. If people cannot see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. One other translation says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation, people has no purpose. Where there is no revelation, people have no self-control. Where there is no revelation, people have no moral convictions, no ethical backgrounds at all. That's what the Word of God says. So if I may rephrase the question as it's in your outline, the question may actually be, Lord, how do I see what you are doing so I do not stumble over myself? There is a small typo in your outline. It's so. So, Lord, how do I see what you are doing so I do not stumble over myself? How do I see what you are doing so I do not stumble over myself in my finances, in my marriage, in my relationship, in my business, in my study? Lord, let me be able to see what you are doing. I want to see what you are doing because it's a revelation. It's not just a one-time thing. God is not going to come and give you a blueprint of your life. If he does that, then you have no need for God. Bible says that blessed are those whose dependence is upon him. God wants you to depend on him also. So that's why he says he reveals it to you. Little by little. One step at a time. But that revelation comes by you actually plugging into him. Somebody say amen. When I was in high school, one of my best subjects was geography. I love geography. I don't know how I ended up becoming a doctor, but that's fine either way. I love geography. And I used to be fascinated with the moon. See, we all know about the sun. The sun is cool. The sun is big and fiery and has all the light. But I used to wonder, what is the purpose of this moon? And my geography teacher eventually expressed on this for me, and I began to understand that the purpose of the moon was not just to have its own light, because it was never created with its own light. The purpose of the moon was never to shine its own light. It reflects the light that comes from the sun. It reflects the light that comes from the sun. And by definition, purpose is the original intent of the creation of a thing. So to fulfill its purpose, the moon must always remain in a position to catch the sun's light. The moon must always remain in that position to catch the light that comes from the sun so that it can reflect it to the earth. The moon governs the night. And we can learn one or two things from the moon. Number one, in your outline, I was born with and for a purpose. Like the moon, God created the moon with and for a purpose. You and I were born with and for a purpose. See, I love Pastor Dave. He's my pastor. He's a good teacher. He's a good strategist. If you're trying to wangle your way out of a situation, try and pick his brain. It will help you unknot it. You know, but I love him so much, but I don't want to be him. First of all, I don't look like him. His hair looks way better than me. He looks like 10 years younger this morning when I saw him. You know, I wish I could have those spikes in my hair, Pastor. What was I saying now? Okay. Right. So, I love him, but I don't want to be him. I don't want to be him. Because the best Pastor Dave I can be is the second best. God birthed him with and for a purpose. His purpose is different from my purpose. I'm a pastor today under his leadership, fulfilling part of the plan that God has for my life. 20, 30 years ago, I never thought I would be standing here talking to you. 10 years ago, I didn't know I was going to be standing here talking to you. But there is a purpose that I was born with, which is different from what he has. Are you hearing me this morning? So you have to figure out and understand that you were born with and for a purpose. And the second one is, my purpose cannot be fulfilled in isolation. My purpose cannot be fulfilled in isolation. The same way the moon cannot fulfill its purpose without the sun, is the same way I cannot fulfill my purpose alone. That's why it's called the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. We all have different parts to play in the body of Christ. Or even if it may not have to be inside the church, outside in the world. My job is, I'm a pediatrician by training. And in my office or in the hospital, my purpose is to take care of little babies. Sorry, I'm spitting it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Preach it, don't spray it. God is good. My purpose as a pediatrician is to take care of kids. Well, some of them are kids, 0 to 21. And even though I'm supposed to take care of them, I cannot fulfill that purpose by just staying by myself in a small room and just telling them, bring all the kids into the room or bring all the 21-year-olds into the room. No. And my purpose is attached, is entrenched in making sure that I have nurses to help me, in making sure that I have business partners to help me, in making sure that there are secretaries to help me. So to fulfill my purpose as a pediatrician, I need to make sure that all these other things are in place. And that's the same thing with us in life. Our purpose can never be fulfilled in isolation. So you can't sit down in your house and be like, well, Jesus is everywhere. I might as well just do my own thing right here and now. Your purpose is tied to somebody, or somebody say amen. The next feeling says, until purpose is discovered, existence has no meaning. Until you discover that purpose, existence has no meaning. And I don't want us to get religious at this point. Not everybody is called to be a pastor. Not everybody is called to be a teacher or an evangelist. You have a purpose in the world. Like Pastor Dave teaches us every time, the responsibility that God has placed upon this house is to make sure that each and every one of us find our mission in the world and our mission in the church. Find what God has called you to do in the world and find out what he has called you to do in the church. So don't think that, I don't like to sing like Pastor Cherie, so, maybe I don't have a purpose. You do have a purpose. You just have to figure it out. You have to, and that's what we're talking about, knowing God's will today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 19 verse 21 says, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purpose prevails. And this is what we do. Myself inclusive, if you ask me what am I doing in the next 1 year, I can give you a breakdown of what I think I should be doing. But you see, there is nothing more than having God in the mix. You have to have God in your plan, because that's what differentiates you or me from the people on the outside. We have God on our side. So when I put my plans together, I leave room for God on the inside. I make sure I put him at the top, put him in the middle, and put him at the end, because that's the only way my purpose can be realized. My purpose cannot be fulfilled without God. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for him this morning. So we must realize that our fulfillment in life is dependent on becoming and doing what we have been called to do. Knowing his will. I don't know if you ever heard about a guy in the Bible. His name is Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Yes. Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Yeah, Jesus Christ. Jesus was born, and about 3 decades into his living on the planet, he suddenly found a place where it was written about him what his purpose should be upon planet Earth. In Luke chapter 4 from verse 16, Bible says, Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been reared. As he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. Somebody said meeting place. So what that means in the Greek is he went to church. Yes, so he went to church. It's good to go to church. So when he stood up to read, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now the scroll, they had a scroll in the Old Testament, but we have the Bible today. I can't go into the details of it, but the scroll was a parchment that was painstakingly written by people in those days with some Bible. We're told that sometimes they actually used blood for some of the writings. Now, so it's a scroll. It's not just like one piece of paper and then all the Bible was there. No, because Bible says that Jesus Christ, unrolling the scroll, he found, somebody say found. He found the place where it was written of him. Jesus didn't just open the Bible and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do read today. Bible said Jesus unrolled the scroll and he found a place where it was written of him. And he found a manifesto for his whole life. And this was what was written about Jesus by the prophet Isaiah. He says, God's spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of the good news to the poor. Send me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to see the burdened and battered set free, to announce this is God's year to act. He rolled up the scroll again, handed it to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him intently. This is what happens when you discover what God's will is for your life. People will think that you are a superstar. They'll think you are walking in the supernatural. Yes, you are walking in the supernatural, but you are walking in supernatural naturally. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Bible says everybody started looking at him. Everybody was like, what is wrong with this guy? Then he started in and said, you've just heard the scripture make history. It came through, it came true just now in this place. Verse 22, and all who were there watching and listening were surprised at how well he spoke. But they also said, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the one we've known since he was a youngster? Yeah, isn't this Hope? I knew her when she was in diapers. Suddenly she's a pastor. No. It's because if she found where it was written of him. Jesus found where it was written of him. It was a discovery process. So the next feeling says, what is in your scroll? What is in your scroll? You cannot know it if you do not unroll it. You can't know what's in your scroll except you unroll it. That means read the word. Study. His will is right here inside this thing. And we're blessed in this generation. We have it in all kind of format. We have it on iPad, on iPhone. Read his word. Because we can discover what it has for our life right inside here. Amen. And this one we're talking about is not just knowing God's will. The premise is it's actually amazing. We're talking about knowing God's will. So to me, that means that I have to know him before knowing his will. Did you get that? Knowing God's will. How do I know God's will? That means I will know his will after I know him. I've been married for almost 15 years. And as those of you that have been married for a very long time knows, you don't know everything about your wife. Well, she doesn't know everything about me either. So day in, day out, suddenly you discover that, wow, she does that? We've been together now for probably about 20 years through med school and all that. But there are times that she does something, I'm like, seriously? You know, you don't know, I don't know everything about her. But there is a revelation that comes as time goes by because of relationship. We've been to London quite a few times. That doesn't make me a Londoner. That doesn't make me a UK citizen because I've been there 4 or 5 times. No, so I can't say that, oh, I know everything about London. I don't. Because I just went to visit and came back. You have to have a relationship with him before you can know the will of God. So it's more than just knowing about the author. It's about also knowing. It's not more than just knowing about the book. It's about knowing the author. It's not just about the blessing that God gives. It's about knowing who gives the blessing. Or the blesser, if there is any word like that. It's more than just knowing the kingdom. It's about knowing the king. Are you here with me today? So that's the reality of God. That's the reality of knowing him. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Can you take note of those underlined words? There is a knowing that comes before being. And there is a being that comes before doing. So we can't jump from just sitting down to doing exploits. There has to be a knowing. So those who know their God will be strong. So if I want to be strong, then I need to know my God. And then after that, I'll be able to do exploit. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we have to know the realities of Christ that we have in us. He has redeemed our lives. We're a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. We have the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we know all that put together, then we'll be able to do exploits in his name. Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, I gave up all this inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally. So I could know Christ personally. You have to be able to know Christ personally. Somebody say amen. Anybody say amen. Amen. All right, these are the straight answers. Are you still here? Yeah. All right, these are the straight answers about knowing God's will. Number one, check out his word. Check out his word. That's the Bible. That's what we've been talking about. Do you want to know what the will of God is? Check out his word. Check out what he has written about you. Check out what he has in store here. This is the testament. This is a covenant that he gave it to us. Not only did he give us an old covenant, Bible said he gave us a new covenant and combined both of them and gave it to us as a Bible. Come on, we need to find out what is inside here. Are you understanding me today? If my dad passed away when I was like 3 years old or so. He didn't leave a will. So I didn't even know what he had before he died. But you see, if And that's why we're trying not to make that same mistake. My wife forced me to go through that painstaking process the other day to do a wheel. Oh, my God. If you haven't done it, you should. And the process was really weird. I had to talk about, okay, if I die, who's going to remove the tube? I'm like, seriously? Do I have to answer this to this lawyer? But we did. There is a will that God has. God has everything and he has put it in here. And the only way you will know what is left for you is by reading it. If you don't study it, how will you know what's left for you? So check out his word. Number two, check out his input. That is a play on words. It's input. What is it that God has put on the inside of you? What is your passion? What is your gifting? This might be a clue to what his will for your life ought to be. What is your passion? God doesn't want to kill your passion. There are some of us, before we got saved, before we came to Christ, we used to do a lot of things. Go to club and dance and all that. And suddenly we come to church and we can't even lift up our hands. No. God wants you to dance in his house. God wants you to rejoice in his house. Come on, we need to do that. Check out his passion. For some of us, I don't know how to dance. If I show you my last dance step, you will know how long I've been saved. Remember? So that's a long time ago. But what I'm trying to say is this. Your passion, God does not want to kill your passion. He wants to redirect it for his glory, for his use. What is it that you're gifted with? That is part of God's plan for your life. So check out his input. Number three, check out his leadership. There are people that God has strategically placed on your path in life to help fulfill your purpose. Whether it's the spiritual leadership or terrestrial leadership. Spiritual, I mean in the church. Your team leader. Your pastor. That they can give you direction as to what they believe God is saying into your life. Or even at work. Your boss said, wow, you're very good with administration. I'd be like, oh, just leave me alone. No. Check out, it might just be God speaking through that person to make you understand what he has called you for in life. Somebody say amen. Yeah, don't discount those kind of things. And it doesn't always have to be in the church. You have to stay in the house. But please, check out what he has said about your life. Number four, check out his language. Check out his language. What is it that God has said about us? Confession. What is it that he has said about you? About your situation? We're trying to figure out, I'm trying to get this healing in my body and it's just not coming through. But what has he said about you? Bible says, you will live and not die to declare the works of the living God. He said, healing is the children's bread. Then you need to partake of that. That's what he said. That's your confession. That is his language. What is the language he has told you about wisdom? He said, Christ has been made unto us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We have to find out what he has said about that. Addiction, I'm set free. All things have passed away. All things have become new. That's his language. I can't have a baby. Oh, no, he said, the barren shall keep house and be joyful mothers of children. That is his language. Check out his language. Somebody say amen. Take home pointers. I need to close. Number one, start small. Start small. Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 10, for who has despised the days of small beginnings or small things? You don't have to start trying to figure out, God, do you really want me to be the president of the United States? No, start in your house. Start with your family. Start with the little issue that's going on with you today. Start small. Start with the little toe that is paining you. And start small. Look yourself in the mirror and lay hands upon your head so that your headache can go away. Start small. Start small. Number two, start here. Start right here in this house. Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. Those that are planted. Planted means plant. It doesn't mean go here today, go there tomorrow. No, you have to start where you are planted. There is something about coming to the house of God. I didn't say this in the first service, but sometimes I'm sitting down there and Pastor Dave is preaching about, he's preaching about money. And my heart is exploding about the love of God. Or my heart is exploding about faith. I believe personally for me that there is a light in God's house that gives clarity of direction. You don't know how important it is for me to come to church on Sunday, because it helps my week go smoothly. Because everything I'm believing in for starts from right here. That's why I am planted here. I am planted right here. And if you are planted somewhere, you will flourish. You will be blessed. You will move forward. You have progress. Somebody say amen. And that's why we have Grow Track in the church. Grow Track is supposed to be to help you discover the will of God for your life. If you're not sure how to start, come to Grow Track and we'll help you with that. So start here. And the last one, start now. Start now. Start now. Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. That word commit is from the Hebrew word means galal, G-A-L-A-L. It means to roll away, to roll away. Roll away your burdens unto the Lord and he will bring it to pass. He will help you with it. Roll away all your concerns unto him and he will bring it to pass. Roll away all your misgivings in life to him, because there are times we feel like I'm too old for this thing. I've made so many mistakes. This cannot come to pass again in my life. The devil is a liar. That is not true. That is not true. No matter how old you are, the purpose of God can still come to pass and will come to pass in your life. Commit your way also unto him. Trust in him and he will bring it to pass. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's pray together this morning, this afternoon. Father, we thank you. We bless you for the power that is in your word. Thank you because of the impact that you have, impartation that you have given unto us today. We live here knowing that we have met with you. Thank you for greater understanding. Vision and dreams begin to happen even from today in the name of Jesus Christ. That man, that woman, that boy or girl that is on the brink of despair, today in the name of Jesus, we break the yoke of darkness and we declare the liberty of the living God. Thank you because you are good and your mercy endureth forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.